Cavalcade of Kings. Henry the First. The cavalcade of kings rides on. Each figure a pawn upon the chessboard of England's dramatic history. Clay puppets of destiny, moved hither and thither upon the board by the fickle hand of fate. William Rufus has passed on, and his brother Henry the First approaches. Henry, called the Great Scholar, was the third son of William the Conqueror and was born in 1068. He was passionate, brutal, and deceitful. Yet under his reign, England prospered. It is the year 1100, and we find Henry at the age of 32 riding off to the hunt with some of his young friends. Henry's mount suddenly shies and commences to rear and plunge.
Steady, Chris, steady. God's blood, do you seek to throw me? Steady, steady.
Well ridden, Your Highness, well ridden. Oh, Bob, don't let the mare bend you.
Gad, no, never let it be said. Steady, Bess. I don't want to punish you, but by the saints, you deserve it. Quiet, girl, quiet. That's Betty, you stupid old lady, plunging and rearing. Just because a leaf is blown across your pathway?
Highness, that's about the prettiest exhibition of horsemanship I've ever seen. Odd blood it is. What say ye, friend? I thought at any moment His Highness would be unseated. Bess did everything she could but stand on her head. Hey, Jad, Highness, the old mare's very fractious this morning.
Well, it is springtime, Walter, and her maiden half is very skittish. Bess feels she wants to gamble and perchance chase butterflies in yonder field.
What Bess needs is some hard work.
Then let's give it to her, Walter. I'll race you to the old Roman bridge for a wager of 100 crowns a side.
I'll take you, Your Highness.
Then are you ready?
Aye.
Then let's away.
Gad, this is something after my own heart.
The Walter will never catch the prince's man.
Don't be too certain, Guy. Sir Walter's bay is a splendid mount. Come, let's follow them to the bridge. Well done, Your Highness. It was a fine race. By the saints, it was.
We arrived just as you reached the bridge, Your Highness, with Sir Walter hard upon your heels. I've had luck, Sir Walter.
Hey, another yard or two and I would have been 100 crowns the richer.
Never mind, Walter. I'll give you your revenge another time. And now, let's retire to yonder inn and refresh ourselves. Then we'll be on our way to the New Forest. Don't forget, my dear brother has invited us to join the hunt today.
So you are friends again, Your Highness.
Yea, but I fear me the peaceful condition will not last long. How can it when William and I hate each other as we do, deep down in our hearts?
Talking of the king has brought one of his bodyguards. But that is what this horseman is who approaches.
Yea, and he's riding as though he's pursued by his guilty conscience and cannot escape it.
Methinks there's trouble afoot.
Well, perhaps my brother has been up to some of his cursed tricks again. He has a penchant for running off with innkeeper's daughters, you know.
Highness, Your Highness.
Yes.
Thank God I caught up with you.
Well, what's he,
soldier? I bring grave tidings, Your Highness.
Grave tidings? Speak on.
His Majesty, the King, is dead.
What? My brother? Dead?
Yea, Your Highness. His body was found with an arrow in his heart in the New Forest.
Where is he now?
A charcoal burner took the remains to Winchester in his cart. And the keeper of the royal treasure, who was one of the king's hunting party, has also hastened to Winchester in order to guard the treasure.
How do you know this, soldier?
I overheard the keeper of the treasure telling those around him that he feared you would seize it as soon as you heard the news of the king's death.
Name of a dog! And who is a better right to it than I? Come, friends, we ride to Winchester to claim that which is rightly mine. Follow me, all ye who hold me as your king. On then, on to Winchester. Open! Open in the king's name!
What seek ye, Your Highness?
All then, ask full well, a crafty dog. I seek the royal treasure. Stand aside!
Nay, Highness. The royal treasure I will hand to no man, save Robert of Normandy, your elder brother, who is the rightful successor to the throne of England.
What? Would you dare defy me, man? Why, heaven, I'll run you through!
Yes, I'll run you through!
Oh, you hear, my fine treasurer? Now do you still deny my right? Stand aside, I say.
Nay, Highness. I refuse. I refuse.
Give me his keys, quickly.
Let me go.
Here I are, Your Highness.
Thank you, Walter. Now for the royal treasure.
Highness, I implore you not to lay hands upon that for which I am accountable to Robert, your brother, who even now is returning home from the Holy Land.
Fool! Within 3 days, I shall be crowned before the high altar in Westminster Abbey, King Henry the First of England.
So began the reign of Henry the First. One of his first acts was the granting of a charter which limited the despotism established by the Norman conquest. He also resigned church property, which had been seized by his brother William, and restored the law of Edward the Confessor. His clerks of the royal chapel were formed into royal ministers whose head bore the title of Chancellor. Over all stood the justiciar, or lieutenant general, who acted as regent during the king's absence, and whose staff formed the first supreme court, or king's court of the realm. Later, Henry decided to marry Matilda, the daughter of King Malcolm of Scotland, and at the moment, we find Henry and Anselm, Archbishop of Canterbury, at the Scottish court, in earnest conversation with King Malcolm.
Henry, you say there are certain barons and priests in England who are placing obstacles in the way of your marriage with Matilda, my daughter.
Yes, Malcolm. And that is one of the reasons why my Lord Bishop and I have journeyed here to Scotland.
What is the nature of these obstacles? Do the barons and the priests not consider my daughter a suitable wife for the King of England?
My people honor Matilda as a good and noble lady and would gladly welcome her as their queen. The obstacle is of a religious nature.
Perhaps I can explain better, my son.
I would be grateful if you will, my Lord Bishop.
Malcolm, my son, 'tis said that Matilda has taken the veil. Therefore, she can marry no man, being as she is given unto the church.
That is no true, my Lord Bishop. My daughter was brought up in a nunnery of Romsey by the abbess, who is her aunt, Christina. But that is all. Wait. Matilda shall answer you herself. Summon her royal highness to appear before me.
It shall be done, sire.
An alliance between England and Scotland is a most desirable condition, Malcolm, my son. And I pray to God it can be brought about, for it would firmly unite the Norman and Saxon races, and so put an end to this perpetual state of hatred and bloodshed.
It is also desirable from another angle than that of an affair of state, my Lord Bishop. I love Matilda dearly.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Oh.
Methinks thou art blushing, sire.
I? Blush? Nonsense. It is but the fierce rays of the sun which have beat upon my face, causing its redness.
Fierce rays of the sun, sire? In wintertime? Oh, surely not. But there, I will not tease you further. You summoned me, father?
Aye, daughter. It is said by some in England that he had taken the veil and therefore cannot wed Henry.
That is a bitter untruth, my father.
Tell me, daughter, have you ever been veiled?
Yea, my Lord Bishop, in my childhood and young girlhood to protect me from the insults of the rude soldiery who infested the land.
And for no other reason?
Nay, my Lord Bishop, although my Aunt Christina has oft times tried to force me to don the veil, I wore it as often as I stood in her presence, trembling as I wore it, with grief and indignation. But as soon as I could get out of her sight, I used to snatch it from my head and fling it on the ground and trample it underfoot.
And that was the way you were veiled, my daughter?
That way, and no other, my Lord Bishop.
Was a sin to force it upon your unwilling head, my daughter. And I hereby declare you free from conventual bonds.
Thank you, my Lord Bishop. On my knees, I thank you.
My Lord Bishop has also earned the undying gratitude of his king for removing the obstacle which stood in the path of his great happiness.
My daughter, soon you are to journey southward to become the consort of the King of England. I charge you to do your duty without fear or favor, to live and die if need be for England, and to always remember that you are descended from that great monument of kingly perfection, Alfred the Great.